Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We're back with you here on this Tuesday. Hope everybody had a good holiday weekend as we get ready for the NBA Finals. Another hockey game is in store for tomorrow. Plenty of Major League Baseball. Of course, fantasy football season is getting ready to start. Great to see everyone out there who is watching us. Of course, if you're listening as well, appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid. 2-hour show every day, noon to 2 Eastern here all throughout the year. Of course, football season is coming. We're going to get you ready for that. But Davis, good to see you. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. How was your fourth? And you're looking good, so I'm guessing no major issues there for you. A lot of fireworks, a lot of fun, a lot of food.
No fireworks for me. You know, big transition from being a young juvenile delinquent to an adult with a house. My dogs hate fireworks. We definitely learned that this July weekend. They really are not a fan of all of the constant loud explosion. So none of that for me. Good 4th of July weekend for me. Got in a good round of golf. Didn't play particularly well, but it was nice to get out on the courts and take some hacks. But yeah, I miss you, man. We haven't been live for a couple days now, so I miss you, buddy.
Well, it's good to see you. Thanks for saying that. Yeah, I miss doing the shows too. In fact, I was supposed to be on vacation this week, but due to Tropical Storm Elsa, that is coming through the state of Florida as we speak, last night, today, and tomorrow, it postponed my trip. In fact, a couple of the airports can't even fly out. So I'm back here for the week, and we'll take a little dip in August before the football season begins. But let's get to our headlines here at the top of the show. That's what you guys are interested in here on this July 6, 2021. Montreal Canadiens. Arguably, maybe the most exciting hockey game of the playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs last night in overtime as they force a game five. And this doesn't happen often in sports where a team avoids a sweep, but they did yesterday. And they'll play one more game tomorrow. I think the series will come to an end, but at least they got their one win. That's for sure. They needed everything to win that one last night. Tampa Bay Rays win again. They score two in the bottom of the ninth, defeating the Cleveland Indians 9-8. As we mentioned, the NBA Finals are going to start tonight in Phoenix, so we're going to have a full preview of that, no doubt. And good news, Davis, is that what we speculated, and we talk a lot about baseball not getting things right. Maybe we should focus on the things that they do, because they did get this right, 1,000,000%. Is there a higher percent than I can give than that? Shohei Ohtani, home run derby, all-star game batter, all-star game pitcher. I would anticipate, Davis, that I'm not going to say that the world's going to be watching this because it is baseball and it's an exhibition, so I'm not that silly. But I think they're going to do very well with people tuning into this game.
I think they will do very well. I mean, without the Ohtani hook, what is really the storyline of the season to get people tuned into the All-Star game? I mean, I guess maybe DeGrom for your East Coast market. You know, as far as the Dodgers and the Padres go, like, I mean, everyone knows the Dodgers and the Padres are really good. But do either one of those teams, like, you know, thinking of really marketable superstars, I guess it would be Betts for the Dodgers and it would be Tatis for the Padres. But you know what? I would guess, Craig, that Ohtani is more famous amongst lay people than Tatis is, despite how great Tatis has been. You know, he's the cover of MLB The Show and everything. Like, so I think focusing the entire marketing of this weekend on Shohei Ohtani is, I think you're right. I think it is baseball getting something right and something we should commend them for.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I've been yelling for this for a couple months, and I'm glad to see it happening. And we're going to get the Home Run Derby participants later today, so we'll find out exactly who's in it, and then we'll take a look at the odds next week on FanDuel, no doubt. Also, the Scott Fish Bowl, I know, very popular fantasy football league, is going on right now for charity. Scott does an amazing job. I've just been lazy about trying to get in every year, and we're going to hit on that coming up. But David, it's just a real quick primer here. We got the NBA Finals tonight. It doesn't look like Giannis is going to play in this. And when we last discussed it, I think that you thought that this was probably going to be the matchup, Milwaukee and Phoenix. But does Milwaukee stand a chance here without Giannis playing, let's say, in two games, like the first two? It feels like there's a chance he plays in the second, but I don't think there's any chance he plays tonight.
I don't think there's any chance that he plays tonight. And now it does sound like he avoided any structural damage. Like, it doesn't sound like his anything is torn. It just sounds like maybe like a deep bruise. You know, but like I think had he had a torn ACL, a torn MCL, anything like that, I think we would have, you know, found that information out by now. I got to be honest, Mike Budenholzer, I've given him a load of crap. Twitter has given him a load of crap. People around the NBA have given Mike Budenholzer a load of crap. He adjusted this offense very well without Giannis. And I think a name that the casual NBA fan does not know, Bobby Portis, going to play a huge role in this series. Going to be absolutely massive. If Bobby Portis is able to go blow for blow with DeAndre Ayton, I think it's going to be absolutely massive. So I do think even without Giannis, they stand a chance.
All right, and we're going to get into some of the player props for tonight, courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook, so stay tuned to that. But look, when you turn the calendar to July, the fantasy football radar starts to go up for a lot of people. And I know that we've been talking about best ball, and we are going to preview another team today here on the show, but it's kind of the rite of passage every July 4th that the Scott Fish Bowl kicks off with the first big fantasy football event of the season. And fortunately, Davis Maddock is involved in that. So when we come back, we're going to get an early peek of what Davis's draft looks like right here on Fantasy Sports Today as our fantasy football season kicks off as well here on FST. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
.com.
as we get closer to training camps opening in the NFL and, of course, the NFL preseason, you can expect us here on Fantasy Sports Today to discuss a lot more fantasy football. And once the NBA Finals are over, that's pretty much what we're going to be doing here on the show. So we'll be doing an hour of fantasy, wagering, baseball, and then an hour of moving over to fantasy football every day. So those of you who are interested in both, make no mistake about it, we'll continue to talk about all sports. We've got 2 hours to do it every day, so we may as well. But the interesting part of the fantasy football season is that many years ago, Scott Fish, who is an advocate of fantasy and an advocate of charity, came up with the idea to have a lot of people who are in the fantasy community join forces to help raise money and participate in a fantasy football league. And in general, it happens in the first week of July. Usually it's July 4th weekend. And with that, Davis, I'll turn it over to you so you can explain a little bit more to people who may not know about it, what it is and the format and how you did or how you think you did.
Yeah, so the Scott Fish Bowl is a giant fantasy football tournament, you know, similar to these best ball tournaments that are being run, the FFPC, the primetime on the NFC. It's a gigantic football tournament in which there are, you know, I think there this year there are 300 different 12-team leagues. You compete in the regular season for 14 weeks, then you advance to the playoffs, then the field is cut down in the playoffs. So in the end, there is a 12-team final, which will take place in week 17 this year. It's an interesting format. Scott always tries to balance out the positional values. It is a super flex league. The roster spots are giant. You can start two quarterbacks. You have to start at least two running backs, at least four wide receivers, at least one tight end, and then there are multiple flex positions. It's tight end premium, so tight ends receive a full point per reception. Wide receivers and running backs get 0.5. There is also an interesting wrinkle where you get bonuses for first down. So if you rush for a first down or you receive a first down, you get a bonus. And then quarterback stats are interesting. There is a negative for incompletions, but a bonus for completion. So quarterbacks can really score points. Last year, Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray both scored over 420 fantasy points, Josh Allen as well. So it's a very interesting format, really makes you put your thinking cap on.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And I think that for people who may not understand what Superflex means, it means that you can start two quarterbacks in your fantasy football league. And I know that on a granular level, there may not be some people who've never done that before, but it is definitely something that is gaining in popularity. And as Davis mentioned, just go ahead and, sort of rewind what he just discussed, and then you can fast forward to his team, and then you can get an idea, if you're participating in something similar, how you should operate. So, Davis, let's kind of get into what the first round of this league looked like with all of those things and all of those rules being said. This is not going to be your traditional 12-team fantasy football league that you're going to fire up in the first week of September. So Christian McCaffrey, it looks like, went first overall here from what I'm seeing on this graphic. We've got Patrick Mahomes, who went second. Josh Allen went third. People may be wondering why. Again, two quarterback league, very important. Those are pushed up. Davis mentioned the scoring. Kyler Murray went fourth, and that was Davis's pick. Travis Kelce went fifth, and then Lamar Jackson sixth. So I think it goes without saying that a little bit of an explanation probably, Davis, will be needed, because folks are going to look at this and go, wait a second, like, that's not what I was planning on doing. So understanding the league is very important here.
Yeah, understanding the league is very important. So Travis Kelce was actually the fourth highest scoring player in all of the Scott Fish Bowl last year. And the same scoring from the 10th Scott Fish Bowl, which was last year, this year is the 11th. The same scoring has been ported over. The real difference actually this year is that place kickers are allowed to be used in the flex. Will be interesting to see if people decide to start, drafting Justin Tucker and Harrison Butker early in these drafts. But yeah, as you see from this graphic, quarterback scoring is absolutely massive. I mean, Christian McCaffrey at number one overall, I can't argue with it. He is going to score loads of points in this format. But I was going into this draft knowing, look, you have got to have two elite quarterbacks or you are just not going to be able to compete. Because if you think about it, so someone like Jared Goff, right, or Derek Carr, they might be able to have good games here and there, But the negatives for incompletions and the negatives for interceptions are massive. So there are going to be a lot of weeks where Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff or Derek Carr gets you literally negative points. Like, they might have like negative 4 points. And if it's a really bad game, I mean, I saw quarterback scores last year of like negative 14, negative 15, when guys are just out there trying to complete passes, like Sam Darnold, right, for the Jets. I mean, he would just go out there and have no chance. So not only are you gaining an advantage of having positive points, but Aaron Rodgers not getting you negative points. Kyler Murray not getting you negative points. Russell Wilson not getting you negative points. So it's kind of like a double advantage. And then the Travis Kelce selection, I was not going to do it where I was picking at number four, but had Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott not been available and I was looking at the Russell Wilson, you know, Justin Herbert grouping, I probably would have taken Kelce. The extra point per reception for tight ends and the extra bonus for first downs. I mean, Travis Kelce is like, as a wide receiver, he would maybe still be drafted in the first round of fantasy league. So getting that bonus and getting those points at tight end is a big advantage. But yeah, as you pointed out, Craig, not a normal first round here, not a normal first round at all.
Yeah, but a good education, I think, for people, you know, simply put, for how you feel about the players in different formats and understanding that things are going to be different in every league you play in. It gives people an opportunity maybe to choose to play something different. So let's take a look at the following picks after the first six. Here are 7 through 12. So Dalvin Cook goes 7 overall. And then I see Aaron Rodgers here at quarterback. He goes after that. I guess his future is more certain at this point. We'll see. Russell Wilson, you mentioned that grouping there. At 9, Dak Prescott at 10, Tom Brady at 11, and then Derrick Henry at 12. So again, we're looking at multiple quarterbacks going here. I don't know that we learned a lot here, honestly, for value. I think we just learned how important quarterbacks are in this draft.
Yeah, and so I think that the guys who took Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I would not have done that. I think taking Aaron Rodgers over Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, pretty big mistake. All things considered, I also think Tom Brady was not the right selection there, like Tom Brady over Justin Herbert. I would not have done that because the rushing floor really adds in this format because every rushing attempt means that's not a pass attempt. You know, passing attempts, if you complete 60% of your passes or something like that, you're still going to be generating negative. So I would not have taken Tom Brady there.
All right, so this is a slow draft, so it's not over yet. Tomorrow when we come back on the show, we'll get an update on Davis's picks. Hopefully there's a couple. Slow draft, you just never know. So in the first round, Davis took Kyler Murray with 4 overall, and then since he was so close to the top, of course he is back on the end in the second round. And no surprise here, he took Jalen Hurts of the Eagles. That's followed by Austin Eckler, which is his first running back, and then DeAndre Hopkins goes in the fourth round. So this is not a huge surprise for me, Davis, to see you have two guys like Murray and Hurts. They're going to be running all over the place. I will be drafting Hurts in fantasy this year too. Let's move on to Eckler here and talk to me about what you see with him coming up this season.
Well, gotta be honest, this was a misclick. I set my cue wrong. I wanted DeAndre Hopkins with that pick right there in the third round. I wanted Hopkins. Didn't get him. No, I'm fine with Eckler. He was in my queue. I just had it in the wrong order. I like Eckler. I like his upside to catch passes. But I got very lucky that my room sat there and let me get DeAndre Hopkins, who I really wanted. I think stacking in this format, you know, it's a big overall tournament. I think the stacking is very important, especially when we get to the playoff round. So I got to be honest, I generally don't love my drafts in these leagues because it's very competitive. But I think that this start is very strong.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting too, and this is something I want to talk to you about, we'll do it later though, is that we've all been there, and I wonder how, Davis, we'll get to this after the break, how you would feel after the fact that you were about to take a player, as it turns out, 17 picks before he ended up going in the draft, and kind of how you feel about that. Do you feel good about that or bad? It's an interesting dynamic. We'll hit on the NBA.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA Final Game 1 is tonight. You can follow all the action with us here on Sports Grid with our in-game live show, all the player props, the spread, the total, everything else as we go. There are a lot of folks who feel like this is going to be a competitive series because the two teams played during the regular season and they played very close games. But again, that was with Giannis. That's part of the story here. Giannis probably not going to play in Game 1. We'll see what his status is coming up later in the week for Game 2 and Game 3. But let's take a live look at what FanDuel has the line and the total at right now. Suns are minus 6.5 over Milwaukee. The total is 218. As we mentioned, Phoenix did win the regular series during their season 2-0, and that, I believe, was with Giannis. So interesting in that note, the line is sort of telling you tonight that Phoenix has a good chance to win, but these series can go either way. It feels like a safe line. It feels like the line is right without Giannis not playing tonight. One of the key figures in this series, no question, especially without Giannis not playing, is going to be PJ Tucker, who has really had an interesting career from almost nothing to now playing potentially for a championship. Budenholzer, of course, knows him very well and talked about his journey to get to this point.
I love that, you know, that he started and played in Europe, and those guys, whether they be American players or international players, that, you know, kind of start and grow in that environment and find a way to make it to the NBA and have a huge impact on winning. Wherever PJ Tucker goes, he's been a winner. But I think part of that is, you know, when you maybe – you know, I think in a film session the other day, we were joking. I don't know. I think Germany and different, you know, Russia and here and there, and it builds his character. He was already tough, but I love his background and how he's gotten to where he is today.
Tucker will be a big factor, I would guess, defensively in this series. Offensively, the big factor is going to be Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns, who, of course, knows all the history with the Suns. They've been around for some time. They went to a NBA championship but fell short during the Jordan years in 1993. And as you'll see, Booker in his press conference yesterday was not shy about wearing that 1993 shirt.
Phoenix Suns is the baby franchise here, and they love it with a passion. And, you know, I'm wearing the shirt from 93 right now. I think it started around that time to win. You know, they developed that. You hear people talk about, I remember when I watched Charles and them. Like, you hear those stories at all times, and seeing the passion in their eyes when they're telling the stories, and even being at the bottom of the barrel for the past 5 years and them still showing up and showing love, you know, shows that same type of love that they have for this team.
You have any examples?
So here we go, Davis. Tonight, NBA Finals. I think there's a lot of great storylines that go into a game like this. But the bottom line is we're looking for an edge. And now the lines are tight on FanDuel. You know, like, everybody is betting the one game. This is not like a 12-game slate or anything like that. So when we get to this point, I tend to stray away from these sort of things. But let's at least throw an opinion out here tonight. Phoenix minus 6.5. Do you take the Bucks? Any interest on the total? And then we'll get to some props.
Yeah, I would take the Bucks, though I think your point is well taken. You know, if you log on to your FanDuel sports betting account right now and try to wager on this game, you are not going to be limited. This would definitely be a scenario where, you know, it's like, oh, you think your side is good. well, the sports book is going to let you put whatever they want on it because they have, you know, kind of locked themselves into a good line here. They definitely, I think, probably have locked themselves in a profit on these games because so much money is coming in on either side. And, you know, sports books get to wager every line at plus 110. So that pretty much guarantees that they are going to end up being profitable in the end. But I would take the Bucks. I mean, and I probably will take the Bucks because I'll want to watch this game. I'll want to follow what's going on. Don't have a big opinion on the total. 218 seems right about right. And I would like to see stylistically how these two teams approach each other, I think, before having a real feel on the total, especially with no Giannis. Like, I'm not exactly sure who is actually going to take those minutes. You know, Budenholzer was talking about P.J. Tucker. I actually don't see as much of a role for P.J. Tucker in the series because I don't know who he would be defending because, the guys at his position, Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson, Jay Crowder, those guys are not key offensive cogs for the Phoenix Suns. You know, their key offensive cogs are Devin Booker and Chris Paul. So I'm not sure how much of a role Tucker has here. So it's just a lot of interesting matchup stuff that I think we'll see play out.
Yeah, a lot of discussion about all the players, honestly. But let's get to Phoenix tonight. Speaking of Booker, and here are the point props over on FanDuel for this game, Game 1, NBA Finals. We have Booker at 28.5 in terms of his points over-under. Chris Paul's at 20.5. And DeAndre Ayton, who has really looked good over the last few weeks, 16.5. We'll get to the Bucks in a minute. Let's weigh in on the Suns.
Yeah, I would definitely lean over on Chris Paul here. Probably a no bet or an under on Devin Booker. I mean, and to be clear, you know, I do think that Devin Booker and Chris Paul are going to have to score and score very efficiently for the Suns to win in this game. But 28.5, pretty high line for a game. I would anticipate Chris Paul being the more ball dominant of these two guards here. First finals appearance for Chris Paul. And as I've pointed out, as the Phoenix Suns were making this run to the NBA Finals, like the big difference between their team last year and their team this year was the addition of Chris Paul. And, you know, I guess to be fair, also Jay Crowder and then DeAndre Ayton, I guess probably under, but this is another series where Ayton's going to have to play very well for the Suns to win.
Yep. So will Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll get to his prop in just a minute. Of course, if Giannis does not play tonight, which is expected, Middleton's probably going to have to take a bigger role. And he was asked specifically about closing out games, being their guy to go to in the fourth quarter, and if he can maintain that as the series goes on.
Just stay the course. I'm not trying to think about too much except for what I need to do on the basketball court. Not try to get rattled or not get rattled when things aren't going my way. Don't get too cocky when things are going my way. Just stay in the course and, you know, just working for it.
Dwayne?
David, we could definitely categorize Middleton as a boring player, but he plays great, and that's kind of what we're looking for here as we take a look at the total tonight for Middleton's points. On FanDuel, it's sitting at 26.5. We have Jrue Holiday at 22.5. And I got to tell you, with watching all of these pregame videos, Davis, and listening to everyone talk, it feels like Brooke Lopez is a big focus tonight in this game. His total is 15.5. There are a lot of people who at least seemingly asking questions along the lines of, can Lopez have a 20-point game? Because if he does, it would really give the Bucks a big advantage in this one.
Yeah, I mean, Brooke Lopez was a huge part of their victories without Giannis against the Atlanta Hawks. So in Game 6, he played 38 minutes. In Game 5, he played 37 minutes, and he was huge in those games. He scored 33 points in Game 5. He scored 13 points in Game 6. Like, he was a gigantic part of their offense because Brooke Lopez operates very non-traditionally as a center. Like, he shoots corner threes. That's not really what you think of your center doing. And then also, you know, people have always they've castigated the fact that he is not a great rebounder as a big guy. Like, you expect your center to be gobbling up rebounds, and he didn't. I mean, Brooke Lopez did not have double-digit rebounds once in the series against the Atlanta Hawks, despite the fact that they won. And you'd be like, well, that's really weird. Like, shouldn't their center be getting double-digit rebounds? But what Brooke Lopez does, and this is actually true, you can look this stuff up on NBA.com's like advanced stats stuff. His team's rebounding rate are better when he is on the court because he is an amazing box out guy. he just creates the space and he prevents the opposing centers and the opposing power forwards from grabbing rebounds themselves. You know, that lets Bobby Portis or Pat Connaughton or PJ Tucker or Giannis or whoever to collect those same rebounds. So I really like Brook Lopez. I think he will be a super pivotable player here in this NBA Finals matchup.
Do you have any inclination? This is our last shot to kind of put out how many games the series goes. I assume that you think from listening that Milwaukee ends up winning the series. So I know we're going to do that in Fantasy Reality later. I don't want to give that away. But how many games do you think that this one ends?
I think this feels like a six-game series. You know, I think it probably feels like the two teams kind of trade at the beginning, and then injuries and health and fatigue and all of those things will come into play, and refereeing, and you know, I don't imagine there being a ton of blowouts here. I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched. I think it'll be a lot of pretty good basketball, but I don't foresee an easy sweep or an easy five-game series win for either team.
Yeah, I think so too. And it feels like we're on the cusp of a competitive series. So I'm really hopeful that we can get that, because I think that having more games is always better. Like, I would have loved to see the NHL go six or seven games too, but I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe Montreal has caught some fire here too. Okay, what we're going to do is take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today, and then we're going to get back to some baseball. I was at the game last night between Miami and Los Angeles, a really fun, competitive game, even in the middle of a tropical storm. I'm driving back and forth to the park. Miami ended up winning that game by a score of 5-4, but we got the ace tonight, Jacob DeGrom, so we're going to get into whether or not we should be using him, and of course some other pitchers as well. Full slate of baseball games always on a Tuesday, so make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid right here on FST. Also, a quick reminder, coming up in the second hour of the show, Pat Corain is going to join us. We're going to talk a little fantasy football. We're also going to do a preview of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so stay with us and stay on the grid for that as well. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock here on this 6th of July on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid, and stay with us. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We've got a full slate of DFS games to get to tonight over on FanDuel's DFS site. Plenty of baseball to get to as well. And Davis, we're going to just kind of package everything together here. We got the NBA, we got the NHL, we got fantasy football season coming as well. But I know a lot of people are still very heavily engaged in the baseball season. And Davis, 1 week from today, guess what? You have no DFS to play in baseball. You actually get like 3 or 4 days off. I don't know what you're going to do with yourself, but we're almost at the All-Star break.
Well, you know, we got football going on, you know, European football. We got golf. There will be things to keep my attention, but you are right. You know, pretty typically every year, the MLB All-Star break is like the worst time to do what we do, 'cause there's like nothing happening. I actually think in a weird way, the COVID season has gifted us some extra stuff going on, 'cause we have like, at least we have some MLS games. We got some European soccer. Like, there will be a couple things for us to wager on over the course of the All-Star break.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's get right to it tonight, because I know we have a lot of options here. Let's start off at pitcher. And let's start off with Davis, the guy that everybody is probably going to use tonight. I mean, it's just as simple as that. I don't know, it's like no secret here. But Jacob DeGrom of the Mets is 11,800 tonight. That seems fair. Carlos Rodon of the White Sox, 10,600. Aaron Nola, who I remember last time we went with Nola, what happened there. Looked so good for four innings, and then it just fell apart. And then Johnny Cueto of the San Francisco Giants, 8,900 tonight.
Yeah, there are, I mean, you know, 15-game slate. There are a lot of pitchers for us to choose from. Of course, Jacob DeGrom is going to be the best one of them. I mean, we have Jacob DeGrom projected for, I have never seen a projection like this on DailyRoto.com before, and maybe it needs to be tweaked a little bit, but we have him projected like 15 points better than every other starting pitcher going on in this slate. And we have, Shohei Ohtani is pitching. Now, I am not rushing back to use Ohtani after what happened at Yankee Stadium. You know, I do think that the leash is pretty short on him. Like when there starts to be, you know, bases loaded or he's walked two guys in a row, I do think they are going to keep the leash pretty tight on Ohtani, which is why he did not make the list here. Carlos Rodon, generally speaking, you don't like to use the left-handed starting pitchers against the Twins, but Rodon has already pitched several times against the Twins this year, had no problems. He's having a real breakout year. Aaron Nola has a great matchup at Chicago. However, I would caution, before lineups lock, before we get there, definitely check the weather, because this could be a wind game tonight at Wrigley. I saw the total was a little bit higher than I anticipated when I looked this morning, so definitely pay attention to that. And then pretty much every time that the Arizona Diamondbacks are in a slate and they are facing a competent starting pitcher, I want to take the other side. Johnny Cueto, competent starting pitcher, more affordable salary, like him tonight.
All right, let's go over to first base. And the Atlanta Braves having a tough time yesterday, got smashed. Freddie Freeman, 3,800 tonight for the Braves. We also have Joey Votto, of course, for the Cincinnati Reds. He's at 3,400. Rhys Hoskins is at 3,200. And then Orioles first baseman Davis, Trey Mancini, set to go here in the Home Run Derby, which will be in less than a week, 3,100 tonight for the Orioles.
Yeah, first base full of dudes who are going to hit home runs, because that's what we do. That's what we do at first base. Now, of course, we have I should just make this blanket point. The Blue Jays are in an insane spot tonight. They have a 6.1 team total. They are facing a guy I've never heard of, a call-up. Like, they're just going to score a lot of runs. So it would be a little bit repetitive to include the Blue Jays at every spot here. Freeman, great matchup against Chad Cole, one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. Joey Votto, interesting lefty-on-lefty spot here against Chris Bubich, but huge upside and at a low ownership there. Rhys Hoskins, another good matchup for him. The Phillies have a huge team total tonight. And I, as you and I have talked about a bunch before, Jake Arrieta, no good, right? Jake Arrieta, we want to be against him as much as possible. And then Trey Mancini, huge projection for us tonight. Very rarely see someone like Mancini projected this high, but great matchup in Camden against Steven Matz, who loves to give up the home runs.
All right, let's go to second base here. And what a season, Davis, for Marcus Semien. I mean, just an incredible, incredible year he's having. I mean, he's on pace for like 40-30 or just something insane. 4,100 tonight for Toronto. Ozzie Albies of the Braves, 3,500. Jonathan Scope looks like he's going to get traded pretty soon. He's 3,100. And then Adam Frazier, maybe another trade candidate here too, 2,800 tonight for the Pirates.
Yeah, you know, I got to keep you on your toes, right? Every once in a while, I gotta throw a guy in there that makes you scratch red. But I do think we are going to need some cheap guys in this slate, because we would like to pitch to Grom. We would like to get some of these Blue Jays in there, like Marcus Semien. I mean, just a gigantic team total for the Blue Jays. Ozzie Albies, he is really hitting the ball well right now. Like he is having a much better fantasy season than a lot of people anticipated. So I really think that he is in a good spot against Cole. And then Scope is another guy who is going to be, you know, 2% owned or whatever. And I mean, talk about a dude who has power. Like Jonathan Scope is like a 190 ISO guy at second base, and you just don't see him. You just don't see him in DFS options, DFS lineups all that often.
All right, and let's go over to third base here. Josh Donaldson, he's the subject of a lot of trade rumors too. I'm guessing he's going to have a few good games to get moved. 3,400 tonight. We have Anthony Rendon of the Angels at 3,300. Ke'Bryan Hayes of the Pirates at 3,100. And then the Mariners' Kyle Seager we got at 3,000 tonight.
Kyle Seager, you know our stuff over at Daily Roto always loves Kyle Seager. I actually think this is a pretty fascinating matchup because you get Jameson Taillon outside the confines of Yankee Stadium. Maybe there is a reasonable argument that actually the right way to approach this situation would be to pitch Taillon against the Mariners. But I do like Seager. I just think Seager is a really good professional hitter, and he is never owned. You and I are both huge fans of Ke'Bryan Hayes. He's got the matchup tonight against Ian Anderson. Definitely think he will be like 1-2% owned. Another good matchup for the Angels tonight, Anthony Rendon. Not a gigantic team total for the Los Angeles Angels, only like 4.5. But I've kind of maintained this whole year that Eovaldi, Garrett Richards, Martin Perez, all these guys are going to fall apart eventually. And then Donaldson was another interesting name, of course. Vlad, Kevon Biggio, Rafael Devers, you know, all these guys are fine starting pitchers and everything. But specifically in the case of Josh Donaldson, platoon advantage against Carlos Rodon, who is going to be owned himself, right? So you get a little bit of leverage against the people who are using Rendon. And if you leave a fastball hanging against Josh Donaldson, I don't care if you're Jacob deGrom, you know, I don't care if you're Shohei Ohtani. Like, he knows how to turn on those fastballs hung in the zone. So I really like Josh Donaldson as a leverage play tonight.
All right, interesting there. Let's do shortstop here. Trey Turner has been the best shortstop in the National League all year long. Unless you feel Tatis is too, I think that's fair. 3,900, Tim Anderson, 3,500, Francisco Lindor starting to pick it up a little bit. 3,000, although we're halfway through the season. He should have picked it up 2 months ago. And Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, 2,600 for the Texas Rangers tonight. 2,600, Kiner-Falefa.
Yeah, I mean, we have Trey Turner with the platoon advantage. Now, not a great ballpark. Obviously, they are playing out in Petco right now. But if you're going to get a matchup against the Padres, you would like it to be Ryan Weathers pitching to you and, you know, not Blake Snell or Yu Darvish. So definitely like that spot there. Kiner-Falefa, I just kind of always enjoy using him. And Jose Urania, I think the Rangers, if we want to talk about gross, disgusting, sneaky snacks, stacks, how about the Texas Rangers tonight, right? We got Gallo, we got Kiner-Falefa, we got Nate Lau, and Jose Urania is actually one of the worst starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. I enjoy Francisco Lindor, but more importantly, I enjoy stacking against Brett Anderson, who you and I make fun of on this show all the time. I don't really understand how he's still pitching. And then Tim Anderson, you know, decent matchup against Jose Barrios. Not great, not horrible. But I do think so much of the ownership at shortstop is going to be concentrated on Semien, Bichette, Tatis, and Turner that anyone with home run and steal upside at the position is valuable. And I think Anderson fits that criteria.
All right, let's cap it off with the outfield. As Davis mentioned, Joey Gallo back to stack the Rangers tonight. Gallo's been much better over the last month, 4,200. Bryce Harper of the Phillies, 3,800. Still waiting for Juan Soto to completely break out. He's 3,600. And Robbie Grossman, 2,900. Odubel Herrera of the Phillies at 2,500. Herrera sometimes has a pretty good lineup spot. It just depends on if they play him or not. It seems like he plays like 4 days a week, something like that.
Yeah, so that is why Odubel Herrera is in here. Now, obviously, if he's batting seventh, we don't like him as much, but if he is leading off against Jake Arrieta, this is also another one when you are checking the weather to determine how much Aaron Nola you want to use. Definitely check the weather to figure out, you know, can we play these guys? Like, should I be playing Cubs against Aaron Nola? Should I be loading up on Phillies? Should I be loading up on Bryce Harper? Should I be loading up on Rhys Hoskins? But regardless of if the wind is actually blowing out that much, I do think the Phillies are a really good stack tonight against Jake Arrieta, who I think is really on the downside of his career. Juan Soto, it was kind of just sticker shock for me to see Juan Soto, who was, you know, a top five pick in every fantasy baseball draft this year, to see him at 3,600, you know, price next to guys like, I mean, price next to like Tommy Pham. Like, this is kind of what we talk about with it seems like we talk about it at first base most often. Like, Anthony Rizzo was under 3,000 for a while. Goldschmidt, we saw under 3,000 for a little bit there. Like, just feels like if you play Juan Soto at 2% owned at one of the lowest salaries he's had all year, feels like you will probably end up getting there. And then I think that you owe one Mr. Joseph Gallo an apology, because I've been putting him in here. I said, okay, you play him at 3,000, you play him at 3,500. He has gotten up to 21 home runs, 6 stolen bases, 48 run score, 48 RBIs. And even for Joey Gallo, a .230 batting average for Joey Gallo, that's a huge win. That, I mean, because there is a season out there where Joey Gallo hits only 31 home runs and hits .190 while he's doing it. So I think you owe Mr. Gallo an apology.
Look, he definitely just has had a season in the month of June and July, because he did nothing, almost nothing, in April and May. But yes, I will say I apologize to some degree, because I do think that I had written him off. And look, the Rangers had done nothing, Davis. It was Adolis Garcia, nothing else. And now all of a sudden he's picked it up a little bit. I wonder if Gallo will get traded on July 30th. I'd be interested to see if he gets moved to some team that needs some offense. So we'll see. That's our look at DFS today. Of course, we'll continue to do DFS previews every day right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Although keep in mind, next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it is the Major League Baseball All-Star break. So for people like me who play season-long fantasy baseball, it's my break too from A Little Fantasy. So we'll pivot away from that. We'll look at some other odds and we'll dive more into some fantasy football, and then the second half of the baseball season will continue. We'll also discuss the fantasy booms and the fantasy busts, the MVPs of the first half of the season for fantasy baseball. That's all coming down the road as well. Coming up next, we've got a Euro Cup final update, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We've got the update also with Chris coming up at the top of the hour here on Sports Grid. And then we'll talk some more fantasy football here in the second half of the program. Davis and I are here every day from noon to 2 Eastern right here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. So where are you going? Stay with us on the grid. We got plenty more to
come. What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Come. Your daily Euro Cup update is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Unfortunately for Davis, we're coming to the end of the line here at the Euro Cup, and boy, what a matchup this is probably going to end up being between Italy and Spain. So, Davis, let's take a look over on FanDuel and tell us what the odds are and kind of what you're thinking here as we continue.
Yeah, we have a couple of really good matchups. Today, it's going to be Italy versus Spain, 90 minutes. If it's tied at the end of 90 minutes, it's going to go to extra time. They play two 15-minute periods of extra time. Then it goes to penalties. I like the Italy to advance, so that's just to qualify. So that's either winning in regulation, winning in extra time, or winning in the penalty shootout. The regulation line is +140. The to qualify line is -140. I bet the Italy to qualify line at minus 140. Maybe not even the most plus EV way to approach the situation, but I have just been here with the heartbreak of the team not winning in regulation and then winning in the penalty shootout, feeling like you had the right side, but not winning your bets. I'm curious to see the tactical approaches that each team plays. Italy's dealing with a couple injuries and a couple yellow card suspensions in this game. And I think probably Spain is going to make a couple substitutions from their normal starting 11 because I think they need some faster, quicker players in there. They're playing a couple old guys in their normal lineup. So I think we'll see a very interesting match this afternoon.
All right, so we'll check it out today. We'll review it for you tomorrow. Those of you who are interested in soccer, of course, you can go over on the FanDuel Sportsbook and bet on that right now. All right, Chris has got our update here at the top of the hour. Let me set you up for our next hour of the show. Lots of fantasy football to discuss, specifically our first look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2021. And we'll go over some projections for Tom Brady as well as the rest of the squad. We'll also hear from Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, with the NBA Finals on deck, and Pat Green will join us as well. Fantasy or reality, Sports Grid 60, all that and more as we come back for our second hour of FST here on Sports Grid. Up next, it's Chris with the update, and then we'll be right back in just 2 minutes. So stay with us and stay on the grid here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.